he put the passages in a hat, and we picked. And you preach on the one that you picked. And the passage that I picked is from 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 21 to 39. The encounter on Mount Carmel. It's a great story, a familiar story to some of us, but it has some very good lessons for all of us. Just a few minutes before I came up, Kwesi, the little boy, asked who is preaching today, and my kids told him that I am preaching, and he goes, "Oh no, he preaches too long. You should go to my country." You understand what long preaching is. But anyway, before I read the passage, I want to give a little bit of a background to the story that we are all going to read together. The incident in 1 Kings chapter 18 happened in Israel during the reign of King Ahab. This king was a few kings after Solomon. And during his reign, he took Israel farther away from God than any king before him. He introduced in Israel the worship of Baal, a god from his wife Jezebel's people. And not only did he introduce the worship of Baal, he actually built throughout Israel temples and shrines for the worship of Baal. Now, this sin was so bad that Elijah prophesied that there will be no rain in Israel until the people repent. And for 3.5 years, there was no rain because the people continued in their sin. And so that is, you know, where we find ourselves. We find ourselves in the story, which is the first public act of God since the prophecy. So that's what we are going to see here. And it's a pretty long passage. And usually when I preach, I don't like to read long passages. But since this is a story, I thought we should all read it together. So why don't we all turn to 1 Kings 18, and we're reading the whole story together. It's actually an interesting story. 1 Kings 18, 21 to 39. From verse 21, Elijah went before the people and said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him." But the people said nothing. Then Elijah said to them, "I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Get two bulls for us. Let Baal's prophets choose one for themselves, and let them cut it into pieces and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. The God who answers by fire, he is God." Then all the people said, "What you say is good." Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose one of the bulls and prepare it first, since there are so many of you. Call on the name of your God, but do not light the fire." So they took the bull given them and prepared it. Then they called on the name of Baal from morning till noon. "Baal, answer us," they shouted, but there was no response. No one answered. And they danced around the altar they had made. At noon, Elijah began to taunt them. "Shout louder," he said. "Surely he is God. Perhaps he is deep in thought. Or maybe he is busy or traveling. Maybe he is sleeping and must be awakened. So they also shouted louder and slashed themselves with swords and spears, as was their custom, until their blood flowed. Midday passed, and they continued their frantic prophesying until the time for the evening sacrifice, but there was no response. No one answered. No one paid attention. Then Elijah said to the people, "Come here to me." They came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Your name shall be Israel." With the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug a trench around it large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. He arranged the wood, cut the bull into pieces, and laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, "Fill 4 large jars with water and pour it on the offering and on the wood." "Do it again," he said, and they did it again. "Do it a 3rd time," he ordered, and they did it a 3rd time. The water ran down around the altar and even filled the trench. At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, "Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and burnt up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and even the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." Shall we pray? Father God, we thank you so much for today, O God. We thank you this morning, O God. We thank you for your word for us today, O God. I pray, O Lord, committing every one of us unto you, O God. I pray that you just touch our hearts this morning, O God. You speak to us, O God. Your word says, O God, that your word does not come forth and return void, O God, but it comes to accomplish the purpose for which you sent it, O God. So this morning I pray that indeed your word will speak to us, your word will change us, your word will have an impact on us, O God. That indeed your word will be true, that says a man comes before you and live the same, O God. So that you will touch us and you will change us, O God. We thank you, Lord. I pray, O God, that this morning you set me aside and that you just speak through me, O God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. So there are 3 lessons that I would like us to learn from the story, from the fine story that we read today. The first lesson is that in the story, we see divided loyalty among God's people. A divided loyalty among God's people. You know, verse 21 said that Elijah went before the people and said, "How long will you waver between 2 opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him." We see the people were divided in their loyalty to God. So in those days in Israel, they felt it was okay to worship God and Baal and also another God that they worshipped. So they worshipped multiple gods at the same time and they thought that was fine. So Elijah was telling them here that, no, it's not fine. You need to decide who you want to worship. You need to be loyal to a God. And that is the God that you need to worship. And that is what the message that he had for them. Now, we saw in the Skit Guys video that in the Bible days and in certain primitive cultures today, you know, people worshiped stuff, right? They worshiped trees and poles and stones and golden calves and stuff like that. But today, in our modern society, we don't do that, right? But yet still, we worship other stuff. We have idols in our lives, even though we don't worship trees. A good example is sports, like he used. The Packers is one. Another example might be maybe our job or money or comfort. Some people want comfort so much, so bad, that they will do whatever it takes to get them. Cheat, lie, whatever. To some, it might be our Facebook, right? You spend hours on Facebook, but when you are asked to commit to a ministry, you say you have no time for it. To some, it might be just stuff, you know, possessions, you know. To the younger folks, it might be your video games. You spend hours playing video games, but you haven't prayed, you haven't read your Bible, but you spend hours playing video games. So that's the point that the skit was trying to make, is that in our day, unlike, you know, Elijah's time, we may not worship this thing, but we still have things that we hold so dear to that they actually become gods in our lives. I have to make a point here that there is nothing wrong with being a big sports fan, okay? There's nothing wrong with Facebook. There's nothing wrong with any of these things by itself. But we make them become idols in our lives. So how do we do that? Now, I thought that let's look at the dictionary definition or some dictionary definition of worship. It said that extraordinary respect, admiration, devotion to an object, reverent love, devotion accorded a deity, an idol, or a sacred object. 3, to regard with adoring esteem or devotion. So the key words for worship is what? Extraordinary respect for, admiration, devotion, adoration for something. So based on that, I think I can safely say that some of us have extraordinary respect, admiration, adoration, and full devotion to our sports teams and players, to our Facebook, our comfort, our video games, and other stuff like that. Okay, let me put it in another way, and I'm going to read this. We worship our Packers and our Bears, our money, our job, our comfort. When we devote all our attention to it, we commit to it, we meditate on it all the time, we think about it all the time, it becomes the most important things to us. Now, Jesus taught a similar lesson in Matthew chapter 19. When you look at Matthew chapter 19 from verse 25, Matthew 19 actually from verse 16 to 25, Jesus' encounter with a rich young ruler. A rich young man who came to Jesus to ask him how he could be saved. He wasn't a bad person. He actually was a very religious man. Because during his encounter with Jesus, Jesus told him to go and obey the Ten Commandments. And he told Jesus that he obeys all the Ten Commandments, at least literally. And Jesus didn't say he was lying. So he knew the Ten Commandments and he did obey them, literally. But at the end of that encounter with Jesus, he went away and Jesus said that this man was lost because he is clinging on to his possessions. He has made his money a god in his life, and that is why he is lost. He loved his stuff and was devoted to them more than his devotion to God. And that was the problem. Remember, God said, "Thou shalt have no other God before me." But this guy loved his stuff, his money, his possessions so much that it had become an idol in his life. Maybe you are still not sure what other gods you may have in your life. Think about what takes your loyalty from God, what you have committed to, what you devote your attention to, what you think about all the time, what you meditate on instead of God, what has become most important to you other than God? That might be an idol in your life. As we saw in the skit guys video, let's say, you know, just for saying sake, if the Packers had a 10 a.m. game on Sunday, regular season game, playoffs game, 10 a.m. Sunday, I wonder, would you come to church for worship or will you stay at home? Be careful what you are worshiping. Remember, the rich young ruler did obey all the Ten Commandments, literally, but he still missed the mark. Be careful not to make anything, and I mean anything, more important than your relationship with God and your commitment to God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, that you cannot worship two masters. You cannot worship two masters. So be careful that the sports, the money, the possessions, the comfort, your Facebook, your job, or whatever you are devoted to does not become a god in your life. Does not become an idol in your life. The second lesson that I would like us to look at from our story is that in the story, we see faith in the power of God through Elijah. Faith in the power of God through Elijah. Verse 33 said that he, Elijah, arranged the wood, cut the bull into pieces, and laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, fill four large jars with water and pour it on the offering and on the wood. Remember, the contest was to see which God can light the wood on fire. Okay, that was the contest. But before he prayed to his God, he asked them to fill four large jars of water and pour it on the wood and on the sacrifice. And he asked them to do it three times, to a point where the whole sacrifice was soaked in water before he prayed to his God. You know, that was some faith, okay? That, you know, as I read this, I just marveled at how much faith he had in God. I think that's what Jesus meant when he said that if you have faith like a mustard seed, you could tell a mountain to move and it will move. Basically, if you had that kind of faith, you could tell your mountain to move and it will move. Unfortunately, today, we see a lack of faith in many Christians. As we saw in the children's sermon, we sing songs that tends to boost our faith, right? Our God is so good, so big, so mighty. There is nothing our God cannot do. Now, this song actually came to my mind a few weeks ago. I was going to do a presentation at work. And I woke up that morning, I was pretty stressed about it. I was kind of scared about it. I go to a board meeting every 3 months and I have to present. And this one, I was kind of very scared. I don't know why. And when I was in the shower, somehow I remembered that when I was dreaming, I was singing this song. And so I remembered my dream, and somehow this is a song I was singing in my dream. And so once I was in the shower, I was singing this song. My God is so big, so strong, so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. And somehow this children's song became such a big encouragement to me that I began to wonder, why am I so scared? Why am I so afraid? My God is so big, so strong, so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. So why am I so scared? I tell you, I had my best time at the meeting. Not because the presentation was any different to the people who were listening, because it always went well. But the way I was feeling that day was different. I actually went to the meeting feeling kind of bold, you know, more relaxed. I know, you know, it's not easy when you have to apply Bible to life, you know, sometimes. When we think about what the Bible says, and then we think about our problems, our mountains, we just tell ourselves, this ain't going to happen, you know. We tell ourselves, why keep your faith high and be disappointed, right? It's interesting that whenever we need a miracle, that is when we tend to remember the time we needed a miracle and didn't have it. Or we tend to remember the time our brother, our sister, our mom needed some miracle and it didn't happen. Now, what about the many times when it did happen? You know, we saw in the video that was showed, okay, salvation is a huge miracle. It takes a miracle to turn somebody's heart to God. And then think about all the healings and deliverances that you have seen God do in your life from the time you were a kid. I tell you, you have seen more miracles, more deliverances, and more healings than you have seen disappointments. But somehow, when it comes to practicing our faith, we tend to focus on the one or two times we can remember when it didn't happen. And we forget about all the many, many, many times when it actually did happen. The Bible says that the devil will bring doubts and negativity into your mind if you let him. The Bible says that we fight not only against flesh and blood, not only against people, but against principalities, powers of darkness, spiritual forces in high places. And the Bible also tells us to guard our minds against such thoughts, right? And doubt is one huge faith killer. And the devil will always pump it into your mind if you let him. We need to guard our minds. You know, when I go back to the story and I think of what Elijah did, you know, he showed such a tremendous amount of faith in God. It's just unbelievable. Now, when I read the story, I asked myself, would I have done what Elijah did? Would you have done what Elijah did? Would you have soaked your wood in water before calling on God to set it on fire? Now, maybe soaking is too much. Will you have poured a cup of water on your wood before calling on God to set it on fire? I tell you, we are so scared to take step of faith. It's just unbelievable. I know you are not Elijah. I'm not Elijah. But the Bible says in James 5:17 that Elijah was a man just like us. Okay? In James, that's what the Bible says. Elijah was a man just like us. And I know you might be saying, I'm not a prophet. Elijah was a prophet. Yeah. But 1 Peter 2:9 said that we are the priesthood of God. So under our current dispensation, we are the prophets of God. There's really no difference between us and Elijah. He just had some faith, okay? And that's the kind of faith that we all need to have. When it comes to faith, we need to remember that as a believer of God, as a believer, God will do things through you to bring glory to his name. Let me say that again. As a believer, God will do things through you to bring glory to his name. So you may pray for a brother or a sister who is sick and they get healing because it is to the glory of God. If it will bring glory to God's name, then don't be afraid. Just take that bold step of faith, and God will act to bring glory to his own name. I know one thing that really scares us is the fact that God doesn't always work when we want him to. And he doesn't always act the way we want him to. After all, the Bible says that his ways are not our ways, right? And his thoughts are not our thoughts. And that really scares us to death. If I go, say, I'll pray for you to get healing. What if you don't get healing, right? But you see, that is really no reason for us to take our step of faith. It's no reason, especially when you know within your spirit that that is what God is asking you to do. If God is asking you to pray for a brother, to pray for a sister, just do it. And see what he does about it. Just do what you have been asked to do and see what God will say about it. We need to remember that obedience or action, okay, step of faith, is required for God to work through us. You need to do that which God is asking you to do to see his glory in your life. You need to take your step of faith to see your miracle. You know, just last Thursday, my little Esther graduated from K-5. And she was so excited about it, okay? But you and I know that you cannot graduate if you first don't go to school. You cannot see your miracle if you first don't take your first step of faith. No miraculous healings ever occurred without somebody first praying. You may not know who was praying, but believe me, if there was a miraculous healing, there was somebody somewhere praying. Okay? We need to trust God and take our step of faith to see him work in our lives. Jesus always said after performing a miracle that the person's faith has made them whole. Your faith will do so much for you and will bring glory to God if only you will take action. If only you will obey and do what God is asking you to do. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's impossible to see God's miraculous hand in your situation if you don't show faith in God. The final lesson we have that we can learn from our story is that in the story, we see the power of God to save. In the story, we see the power of God to save. Salvation came to Israel that day after many years away from God. So today, the lesson is, if you know somebody who has been away from God for a while, maybe a family member, a friend, a colleague, a co-worker, a neighbor, I want you to remember today that the power of God to save is limitless. If you go home and you read the rest of the story, the whole Israel came to God that day. God saved the whole nation that day because of what Elijah did, or because of what God did through Elijah. But we also learn from the story that we all have a role to play in God's work of salvation. Elijah's role that day was he was the messenger God sent to the contest. He was to do something that showed a tremendous amount of faith, and he still did it, and did it so well. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that Paul planted, Apollo watered, and God made it grow. Sometimes our role in God's work of salvation is to plant the seed. Other times our role is to water the seed. What Paul was saying here is that sometimes you might be the person God uses to pray for a change in heart in a person's, to pray for a change in the person's heart. Other times your role might be actually the person God uses to witness to somebody, okay, to share the story of salvation with somebody, to share your testimony with somebody. Other times your role might be to bring up somebody, to do follow-up, to disciple somebody after the person had already come to God. But whatever it is, we all have a role to play in that work of salvation. One important thing, though, is that to play your role very diligently, God's work of salvation has to be important to you. Okay? We all care and take action about things that are important to us. If it's not important to you, you won't do it. And that's the thing, is that God's work of salvation, your brother, your sister being lost, has to be important to you. Let's think about it this way. We all pray about many things each day. But how often do you pray for the brother or sister you want to see saved? How often do you actually pray for your brother you want to see saved? For your neighbor who is lost? For your coworker who is lost? How often do you pray for them? Is it that important to you? That's the thing. We care and we take action when things are important to us. And it just got to be. How often do you reach out to the person who is hurting or pray for them? How much do you give to support the church's outreach ministries, to support missions? How much time do you give to missions? If it's important to you, you will take action. To conclude, I'd like to ask you a question. If you think about it, when we're talking about missions and God's work of salvation, what have you been doing about it? You know, do you pray? Maybe that's your role, but do you do it? Do you pray for missions, for missionaries, for the neighbor, for your coworker who doesn't know God? Do you witness? Do you give? I don't know. But we need to figure out what God wants us to do, and we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and do what He wants us to do. If it's important to you, you take action. Let's pray. Today we have learned God talk to us about being loyal to Him and Him alone, about having faith that moves mountains, faith that takes your problems away, the faith that Elijah had. We have heard God talk to us about His work of salvation and that we all have a role to play in His work of salvation. I want you to just say a prayer to God. Remember that we worship the one true God, the Almighty God, and He requires that we be loyal to Him and Him alone. We need to do away with anything that is taking the place of God in our lives. If you have been too loyal to something, I want you to pray and confess to God and pray for forgiveness right now. And then go home and do something about it. We learned this school today that if your right hand causes you to sin, you should cut it off. If something is taking you away from God, you need to do away with it. I also want you to pray and ask God to grow your faith. Like the disciple who came to Christ and asked him to help his unbelief. Pray to God to help your unbelief. To help you grow your faith. But I don't want you to forget that the Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. It is by you indulging yourself in the word of God. That's how your faith grows. Elijah knew what God could do because he knew his God so well. That's how our faith grows. So pray and ask God to help you grow your faith by helping you soak yourself in his word. And then lastly, I want you to pray that we will all be sensitive to the work of the Holy Spirit in missions. That we all know our role and that we'll do it very diligently. Let's pray for our church. There's a team here that has been trying so hard to get us involved in missions. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for ourselves. Father God, we thank you so much for today, O God. We give you glory, O God, and we bless your name. We thank you, O Lord, for your word for us, O God. That indeed, O God, you are God, the only one true God. And it is you alone that we should be loyal to. Father God, we thank you. We pray, O God, that you help us to do away with the things that make us sin, O God. Your word says, O God, that thou shalt have no other God before me, O God. Your word says, O God, that if our right hand causes us to sin, we should just cut it off. Help us, O God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, O God. Father God, as we become totally loyal to you, O God, our faith will grow. We would like to do missions. Help us, O God. In the name of Jesus, we've prayed. Amen.